The University of Detroit Mercy presents another brand new episode of Ask the Professor. Today's program was recorded using Zoom video conferencing technology.
The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mayo, and let me introduce to you our panel for today. To my left, but someone else's right, someone else's top, and someone else's bottom, it's Professor James Balfour Tubbs.
Hello. I was wondering who you were going to say. I can never tell who's to your left or to your right because they're rearranged on my screen.
So it's always a surprise.
It is.
So who's the Paul Lind for you?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's not me. That's all I know. It rearranges sometimes. So my kids are obsessed, Jim. That's why we all have funny names today with this cartoon they're watching. The lead character's name is Finn. And he encounters this, basically this creature who calls him Phil. And his response is, "How did you almost know my name?" And the creature responds with just this classic adult humor hidden in a cartoon, "I have approximate knowledge of many things."
My students have approximate knowledge of many things.
Oh, yes. Yes, they do.
It's called a C-.
Can you give a more pointed example, Professor Tubbs?
I will refrain from doing that. Although Beth just had one.
Yes. And when you said that one, Beth, I couldn't help but think of my colleague, Mary Lou Caspers, who's told me I've read enough papers about the heat of salvation instead of the heat of salvation. It gets complicated.
Well, you know, once you hear a certain figure of speech and you're kind of used to it, you kind of use it whenever something similar arises.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I didn't think the student was really, I assumed it was not that she was confused, but just typed the wrong word, as we sometimes do. But it was pretty hysterical in the context.
Autocorrect is the enemy of the well-read, let me tell you. The number of times I have typed the word, or apparently typed the word, trumpet into a text is very interesting. That's all I'm going to say.
I always mistype the word philosophy, believe it or not.
Ooh.
I mistype it as philosophy. I always leave out that first O for some reason, which is kind of embarrassing. But
we all, I think, have certain typing mistakes that we make again and again and again. For me, one of them is that, T-A-H-T instead of T-H-A-T. For some reason, I just keep making the same mistake over and over again.
Professor Heather Hill, what's your go-to typing error?
Medieval.
Oh.
See, now I feel better. This is exactly what I was talking about.
I always want to type it M-I-D-E-V-I-L. No.
Yeah. Spell it the way it sounds, right?
No, you know, you get kind of self-conscious and you're like, I should know how to spell medieval since it's my area. And then I'm like, did I spell it right? And then I'm embarrassed that I don't know if I spelled it right.
We know. That's why you choose to get a PhD in that area, so you can learn how to spell it.
That's right.
You're just spending too much time reading Latin. So that probably...
Fortunately, ethics is easier to spell.
Utilitarianism is easy to mistype, though.
Yes, that is. Yes.
I'm feeling really bad about the fact that my go-to mistyped word is the. I almost always type T-E-H, and it doesn't get much smaller than that.
So. Yeah, that's the same mistake I make with that.
Professor Dave Chow is here with us today.
Pleasure to be here, as always.
And how many hours of sleep, Dave?
Three. I still got 60 drawings due by tomorrow.
So, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, what are you doing hanging out with us?
Yeah, no kidding.
I've got an attendance record. I've kind of like started off, and I'm not going to bail on it. That's all. So,
well, you've attended now, so you can leave.
Well, what? I'm going to go call Roy Finkenbein right about now and have him come off the bench.
The Iron Man of Ask the Professor.
The Lou Gehrig, right? Oh, dear Lord. Just what I need.
The Cal Ripken Jr. of the Ask the Professor panel.
Okay, now if you guys want to talk about horrible spelling errors, in regards to like texting and chatting. I can't remember I think it's for a warranty, and they said, "I'm sorry for your incontinence," as opposed to convenience. That was the worst one I've ever seen. Sorry for your incontinence. I said, "I beg your pardon. I didn't know you knew that I had chili for dinner." That's also.
I would be sorry for your incontinence too.
There's a word that Aristotle uses that gets translated as incontinence, but basically means intemperate. That's actually what he's talking about. But when students hear him talking about the virtue or vice of incontinence, they're like, "What is that about?"
Oh no.
Oh, the virtues, the many virtues.
Those, of course,
temperance is a virtue.
The dulcet tones of Professor Beth Oljar. Beth, you sent a picture of your beautiful kitty lying on her back with her paw up, like, just don't.
Talk to the paw. She's being quite the little diva. Yeah.
Yeah, it happens. It's okay. I think that finding cats in those kinds of positions and preserving them forever in a photograph is very, very funny.
As opposed to resin. So.
Right. Leave it to the chemist. Professor Jeff Boats is here with us today. How are you doing, Jeff?
Not too bad. My autocorrect nightmares have to do with me typing on the wrong language keyboard half the time. Like in French, the A and the Z are in different places. And then in the Danish keyboard, there's extra letters. So all the things get skinnier, which means I keep missing the S and hitting A and vice versa.
Well, Jeff, how many things do you have to type on the Danish keyboard?
Not too much. I have it on the Danish keyboard sometimes because I'll be doing Duolingo. So I'll be learning it on there, and then I'll start texting someone, and every word gets flagged as a spelling error. It means something else.
That is awesome. Although I got to say, in more recent years, I've seen a lot of our students using the dual keyboard for English, Roman, and Korean, and so they have like a layer over their keyboard to go back.
How does that work?
It's complex. I can't even believe what we're hearing from Jeff here. This is incredible. A code switch like that, I can barely understand how to spell different kinds of pasta. So it's like crazy.
I'm lucky if I can hit the right function keys for symbols and symbol. I mean, it's easier to assign a function key to a particular symbol in symbolic logic. And then I got to remember what key I assigned to what symbol so that I don't make a disjunction out of a conjunction and vice versa. It's not a whole separate keyboard. Although that'd be kind of cool.
On the side.
A logic keyboard. That'd be awesome.
Professor Dan Maggio is here with us today. What's up, Dan?
Not too much. It's been a long week, so I'm a little tired.
Yeah, you're back from vacation.
Yeah, I was. We were up north last week. The colors were beautiful. I mean, really, really nice. I think just got there at the right time, but I just think this was a really spectacular year. But I don't think I saw the sun once.
Really?
And, I don't know.
I think it peeked through a little bit, but for the most part, it was cloudy and rainy and windy. But that was fine. I managed to enjoy myself nonetheless.
I don't know, Dan. You look a little tanner than usual. Maybe even taller, too, on screen.
So. I don't think so. I think those days are over.
It reminds me of something I read once, Dan. It was a cold, gray, November-ish day in October. You know, we can wait for that kind of fall. Let's have the fun fall like we have right now. I see the light just streaming into most of your places. I'm in my basement, but it's been glowing all over gyms since.
The gray is moving in though from the west.
We're going to get rain here any minute now.
Yep.
But the warmth we've had all day is meeting a cold front from the west, and it's going to drench us.
She's going to blow.
I can see all the changing leaves from my office window. Because I have two big trees on the street right across from me, so I get to see that whenever I want to take a break from, you know, philosophy, you know, a lot. So,
Professor Mar Livesey is also here with us today. It was great doing drugs with you earlier.
I had a great time with that experience.
How was your drug demonstration?
And what did you demonstrate?
Psychedelic, let me tell you.
Oh, psychedelics.
Mara.
Psilocybin, LSD.
Mara, give the panel and our listeners a little background
here. Yeah, before we get busted.
So I teach a class that I hoped would be called Let's Do Drugs, but then was later renamed to How Drugs Work. And I have a variety of guest speakers joining me this semester. This week's theme was opioids. So Professor Mayo came to visit and talk to us about the opioid epidemic.
Although the Schuyler family is going to have to pay quite a hefty fine, which is nice. Yep.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, we had lots of fun. It was great.
That was actually on my post-it note, Mara, and I didn't get a chance to get to Purdue Pharma, but the students had good questions, so I want to make sure I responded to those.
Yeah.
It's interesting that we've worried a lot about the opioid epidemic, far more than we worried about the crack epidemic of the 80s. Gee, I wonder why that might be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
There may be a reason.
Just remember, Donald Trump is the least racist person in the room.
I'm kind of wondering what room he was in when he came up with that idea.
I think he was defining room as everyone within 10 feet of him.
Sneezing distance.
I was thinking it might have been a Klan hall where he was standing when he thought of that.
I was just going to say that my autocorrect already clicked in and changed it to trumpet. Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. If you stump the panel, you win a prize. You can send us the questions in a number of ways, primarily emailing us at atp@udmercy.edu. Find us on the Facebook or Instagram, or listen on your favorite smart speaker by asking it to play Ask the Professor at University of Detroit Mercy. We have a highly secret set of questions sent in from Anonymous. 15 questions. A few sports related, I can already hear your groans, a few pandemic related, a few political, and the rest random hodgepodge. That's like my middle name. So have fun, professors. Let's see what we can do with these interesting questions now that my third grade son has decided to join us. Say hi, Emmett.
Hi, Emmett.
Hi, Emmett.
Hi, Emmett.
What is the whitest large city in the United States with a population of 500,000 or more?
Livonia.
I mean, that's a good guess. I just don't think 500,000 people live in Livonia.
Oh, darn. Okay.
Like Portland?
You know, it's Portland, Oregon. Yeah. Portland,
Oregon. Really?
Yeah, that's what I would have guessed, too.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, I have to give partial credit to Dave for going with Livonia, which is definitely one of the whitest cities in the United States. I believe it's like a solid 98.7 or something like that.
My parents lived there, I think they tipped the scale. So,
wow. A study published in April 2020 found that men were how many more times likely to die of COVID-19 versus women?
Five times?
Three.
I have to give it to Mara at 2.4 more times likely. Does anybody know the reason why?
Well, women rule, obviously. I mean, duh.
Well, I think that goes.
We're just fragile creatures. That's all. We're just fragile, like wicker furniture.
I'm going to go with the scientific explanation. Men have increased expression of the ACE receptor.
That's a version of what it says here. It says that women actually produce more T cells. So it's pretty much the same thing. How about who was the only man to witness both of the New York Mets title-clinching games in 1969 and 1986 as a uniform player at Old Shea Stadium?
Oh, I was a Mets fan growing up. I'm thinking Rusty Staub, but he was in Montreal back in the 60s.
Le Grand Orange.
Oui.
That's what his nickname was. Rusty That's Staub's right. nickname was Le Grand Orange.
That's right. The Great Orange.
Don't ask me why I know that.
No, the initials here are T.S.
Tom Seaver.
Yeah, it was Tom Seaver.
Okay. Yep. Oh, he was a coach. Trick question.
Yep. Yeah. He was actually with the Red Sox in 86, though a knee injury kept him off the World Series roster. So it was kind of both sides of the similar coin.
You're listening to a special edition of Ask the Professor, in which each of the eight professors participating in this recording session were connecting to each other from different locations, thanks to Zoom video conferencing technology. We're grateful for those listeners who submitted questions for the show, and we invite you to send your questions to atp@udmercy.edu.
The professors will return in a moment to answer more questions, but first, it's an Ask the Professor flashback.
Get those bells. Yes. The University of Detroit Mercy presents Ask the Professor. On location. It's our annual picnic show, and this year we have come to Chillicothe, Ohio, at the grand opening of the academic theme park.
Don't get cotton candy on the mic, okay?
That's right. All right. Oh. It's the first academic theme park in North America, and I have with me today, that came all the way down from Detroit, we have George Pickering.
Sure. Pleasure to be here, giving away degrees.
That's right.
Step well, right up, get your degree.
George is very attracted to this thing over across from us called the Diploma Mill.
Oh, which, I love it.
Strolling along beside George is Kathy Bush.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello. And this is the place, though, this Diploma Mill. You can have hot dogs with vice presidents. You can buy a degree or two. Anything your heart desires academically.
Well, you can win it at games, too.
And you can do that. You can do that. Oh, we're passing the casino. Let's take a look at the casino.
You can win so many student credit hours and quality points in there. It's unbelievable that you can come out of there with 32 hours at B level.
Are these life experience credits?
Oh, absolutely. It is a life experience.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Sometimes it seems like a life sentence, you know, but it's really a life experience.
This is really fascinating.
Step right up, spin the wheel, come out with 32 hours in religious studies. Here you are.
Hey, we've been joined by Professor Stephen Manning.
Good afternoon. Sorry I'm late.
That's all right. We know you're busy.
Are you outside?
Yes.
All right, let's try this one. In March 2020, there was an online survey conducted by the New York Times Research and Analysis Department. How did 2,250 subscribers respond to this question? Which body part do you feel most squeamish imagining being injured?
Eyeball.
Oh, yeah.
Was it, Dan?
The eyeball.
Yeah, it's eyeballs by like leaps and bounds. I was trying to think of a
That was my first guess.
73%. The next one underneath was 14%. What was it?
Pinky toe. The tongue.
No, but you're so close, Dan. It's teeth.
Yeah.
Oh. Anything facial is like ruin our sterling good looks, you know? I mean.
No. Let's try this one. What percent of new car sales in the U.S. are battery powered? So electric vehicles.
4%.
Yeah, it's really small. I appreciate your forward thinking, Professor Tubbs, but in the United States, it's only
2%.
It's 5% in Europe, is what it says.
Two cars or 2%?
2%.
2%.
It's 2% in the U.S. and 5% in Europe.
Too bad.
Whole cars taste better than 2%.
Oh, are those pretzels? Hey, I live pretty close.
Yeah, he's got pretzels.
Are they twisty? What kind of pretzels are they?
They were curly. They're curly. Oh, what's that?
Chocolate-covered pretzel.
Ooh.
How about what country with a population of 11.2 million? That's on par with the population of the great state of Michigan. Had as of, September 18th, just over 5,000 coronavirus cases and 115 deaths. This is among the lowest mortality rates for COVID in the world.
Norway.
Sweden. New Zealand.
South Korea.
Korea. South Korea.
Eastern Europe? New Zealand.
Nope.
11 million.
Mm-hmm.
We said Sweden, Denmark.
Iceland.
Denmark?
Antarctica.
Not even all right, close. I'll go Canada.
Nope.
No, Canada's got 30 million. I know. I was hoping.
It is in the Americas.
Oh.
Oh.
Bolivia?
Nope.
Ecuador.
It is an island nation.
Cuba?
It's Cuba. The great country of Cuba. Of course, don't forget, I think that this is the way that I would have solved that last one. If it was North Korea, then it would have only been one case with no mortality because that's all they've reported to the WHO.
They're too busy killing their citizens in other ways.
Exactly, exactly. When was the last time the University of Michigan had a home football crowd of fewer than 100,000 watching the Wolverines?
1952.
It's a good guess, but you're a little bit off.
Dang. No, it would have been 1997.
Back from that. If we split the difference, we end up pretty quickly at
75.
Yep, 1975.
Nice, ooh. Heather, with the math.
Way to go. Nice.
Calculation.
But I do believe that records such as these, if we can even call them that, you know, are going to very quickly go away, starting with this weird, weird world of little groups of people just sort of sitting in the middle of nowhere at these games. How many nuclear-armed countries are there on planet Earth?
Eight.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Let's see.
Jeff, okay. What was that?
I said eight.
Yeah, it says it's nine.
So okay. Russia, China, a U.S.
India, Pakistan.
India.
North
Pakistan,
Korea.
North Korea. Israel.
France.
Okay.
Nine that we know of.
Yeah, that's also true. You know,
yeah,
I just had this thing about Luxembourg from the beginning, and frankly, Vatican. I mean, let's get serious.
The Vatican has nuclear weapons.
But they keep
the problem the Vatican has is they don't have enough room to build the centrifuge there. Yes. They would have to, you know, dig up all the Vatican gardens to have room for the centrifuge.
That's right.
What would they find buried in those gardens?
Oh gosh, yeah.
Who knows?
Yes, let's go find out.
Roughly 60% of known infectious diseases and 75% of new or emerging infective diseases are zoonotic in their origin. What does the term zoonotic mean?
Originate from animals.
Came from an animal?
Animals to humans. Animals to humans. Yep.
Ew.
Very disturbing. Very disturbing.
Yeah, Dave, it's okay. Calm down. You only draw animals.
Oh, okay. It's kind of like, it makes my eyeballs itch.
So. Uh-oh, don't say that.
Oh, sorry.
Life sentences in prison in the U.S. have risen how many times as a multiplier since the 1980s to the 2020?
Could you repeat that question again, please?
Prison life sentences in the U.S. have risen how many times since the 1980s?
I bet this has something to do with drug laws.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
100.
100's a little high, but let's be serious. Even if it was twice over, you know, yeah. So
85.
No, it's only four times. It's
four
times. Wow. But that's enough. You know, that's
mucho plenty.
Yeah, that's a lot. A few more here. Who's the only person to have served as chief of staff to two U.S. presidents? Now that's kind of interesting.
Jim Baker?
Yeah, it is.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. To both Reagan and Bush.
Mm-hmm. You jumped right on that, Jim. It must be the James connection.
No, they were doing a special about him or talking about him on CNN or MSNBC or one of the channels. A new book is out about him because he was involved in several administrations in big ways, very big ways.
Yep. I think the way we could think about it with the current administration is how many different chiefs of staffs did Trump have just this afternoon?
yeah, that would be it.
Like George Steinbrenner and General GMs.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh. According to a 2010 Harvard study, what percent of the time does the average person's mind wander from the task at hand?
What?
Say it again. Huh?
Uh-huh. Did you say something?
Where am I?
30.
You knew that question would elicit that response, Matt.
I'm 45.
Oh, what? What did you say?
I forgot the question.
That was a softball one.
You all are nuts. Jim basically got it. It's 47. Jim said 47% of the time.
Wow. It increases when you retire. Can you confirm, Jim?
Yeah, I think so.
Absolutely.
Lost Bethy.
I know we lost her. She'll come back, though, I hope. Last question here, professors. Last question. In the modern era, which Major League Baseball player holds the record for the highest batting average over a 60-day span?
60-day? Ooh.
I can help sort of give you a locus by saying it was June 30th to September 4th, 2004.
I'll guess Barry Bonds.
That's a good guess.
Mark McGwire?
Nope.
That's too early.
This player batted June 30th to September 4th, 2004, batted a 460.
Whew.
Whoa. Incredible.
The reincarnation of Ted Williams?
That's a very good guess.
Just his frozen head.
I'm back.
Hi, Beth.
Hey. Glad to have you, Beth.
Sorry.
That's all right.
2004. Tony Glenn. Ortiz.
One more time, Jeff.
Tony Gwynn, or had he retired by then?
I think he may have been gone. Yeah.
David Ortiz.
No. This is the most understated, fantastic baseball player, basically, of all time, as far as I'm concerned. So, this is
Alex Rodriguez.
Don Kelly.
Derek Jeter.
None of these people are understated. None of them.
Well, you said understated. I didn't understand.
You know who it was? It was Ichiro Suzuki.
Oh! Okay,
I was about to give my clue was going to be, because we all know that Tiger Woods was holding a golf club before he could actually talk to his father. His dad was giving him pointers on his swing. The same applies for Ichiro, who basically has spent his entire life practicing or playing baseball from the moment he could stand on two legs. And he was spectacular, but... recently retired, last couple years. Yeah, so he played for the Mariners those seasons in the time when the Mariners, it was 2001.
Now, didn't he sign somewhere else and then re-sign back to retire under the Mariners?
I think that he signed with the Yankees. It was his last team. Yeah.
No, but didn't they sign him to like a one-day contract with the Mariners so he could retire?
Yeah.
You know, one of those deals?
They had some pretty good seasons while Heather and I were in graduate school. The Mariners had some good seasons in the mid to late 90s.
Yep.
I recall.
Well, the Kingdome, was it? Is that what it was?
We used to call it the Thing Dome.
Yeah. When they finally dynamited.
That's right. They imploded it, right?
It had been there a long time, though. I mean,
ooh, the rain has started.
Uh oh.
Yep.
Big time. Big time.
I haven't gotten it yet.
Around. I tell you what, though, props, we had a real great set of questions, and you did really, really well. I'm afraid the time has come
for
us to say goodbye, Mara.
Goodbye.
Dan.
Goodbye.
Steven.
Bye.
Jeff.
Bye.
Beth.
Bye.
Dave.
See ya.
Heather.
Goodbye.
And Jim.
Not even there, Chief.
And now these words.
You can email Ask the Professor at atp@udmercy.edu or visit the Ask the Professor Facebook page.
Ask the Professor is transcribed at the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. We're produced and directed by Michael Jason and Brian Masonville, and our executive producer is Professor Jason Roach. Until next time, I'm your host, Matt Mayo.